John chapter 3, and begin reading with the 14th verse, and we'll read down through the 21st verse today. And so, John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 14, John 3, 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the day, and I thank you for those beautiful hymns that we've sung. I thank you for the opportunity to be together, to hear the specials played, and to bring our tithes and offerings unto you. And we can willingly and lovingly and with a great privilege that we have to give, and then to come and to watch what is given, used by you, dear Father, and many times seems to be multiplied by you as we support the radio programs and the website and the sword and the feature and Father, the things that you have led us to take care of and to use in furthering the gospel. We just thank and praise you for all that you have done for us. And Father, please that you will continue to strengthen us and to guide us and to lead us, dear Lord. So please touch every heart today, whatever the need is, those that are here that are lost, that do not know you, that have stayed away from that old rugged cross. Please today be the day that they come to that old rugged cross and find you there, Lord Jesus, to take their sins away and to give them life. Grow us all today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We went back to Numbers chapter 21, the first few verses of that book and chapter last week. And when we sang that beautiful hymn, "The Old Rugged Cross," we find that Jesus himself uses this as an example to help Nicodemus to see, to bring him to salvation, to show him the way to the truth, to show him to the way to the cross. And he brings up something that Nicodemus is very familiar with, and this is this serpent, these snakes that because of their disobedience was everywhere and was biting everybody. And he told Moses to make this serpent and set upon a pole. And the 8th verse of Numbers chapter 21 tells us, "Make thee a fiery serpent set upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass. And if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Well, the Lord Jesus here in the 14th verse uses the same example. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You know, you and I were born in sin. We were bitten by the serpent of sin. And all of us, everyone, every individual that's ever been born, except for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, which was not born of a man, but born of the Spirit, is exempt from this. Everyone else has been born into sin and has got to deal with the sin problem. And to live, we must look up to the cross that Jesus was lifted up upon and put upon that. And, you know, please look to this cross, the cross of Calvary. Moses lifted up the serpent in the middle of the multitudes. And anyone that was bitten by a serpent, if he would just look at that, he would find life. He would be able to live. And Jesus also was lifted up amongst the multitudes upon Calvary that many watched and saw him suffer and die there. And so as the serpent, so was the Lord Jesus. The serpent of brass, even though it didn't possess any poison of itself, instead of bringing death, it would bring life. Our Lord Jesus, looking just the same as any man, and yet instead of one dying, as all men have to die, this man, having no sin, being perfect, all we need to look is to Jesus, to the cross of Calvary, and we can live instead of dying. So you see, Jesus knew what he was doing when he talked about the comparisons between the brass serpent that was lifted up and our Savior that was lifted up. Both brings life if we look to them by faith. And each person has to look to the old rugged cross. And when you remember the one that was hung upon that old rugged cross, the one that was hung there and suffered and died and rose again, believing in faith, we can have life, each one of us. Who can live? The next verse tells us, whosoever. Powerful word in the Word of God when it comes to you and me, that word whosoever. Because whosoever, as my Sunday school class said, that includes anybody and everybody, and it doesn't leave out anybody. Nobody. That was the third one. Everybody, anybody, nobody. And that's what we have in Jesus. That's the whosoever. The whosoever. Who here is sitting here that is not included in that? Is there a class of people, people that are rich or people that are poor? People of a certain land that are exempt? Have a certain name, you're exempt? There's no exemptions. None. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever. This old rugged cross means life to you and to me if we look to the one that was hung on that old rugged cross. And what a simple message, what a clear message. This 15th verse declares the purpose of the lifting up of the Son of Man and the results of being lifted up. Whosoever looks to him with the eye of faith shall not perish. Whosoever looks to him. Whosoever. Whosoever shall not perish. Whosoever. This promise of salvation is offered to all. To everyone. Whosoever. I want you to think about that. I want you to look at these words, because when we get to that 16th verse, if there is one verse in the whole Scripture that has more power and more strength than any other, it has got to be that 16th verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That 15th verse, as we look at these words one at a time, whosoever, that promise goes out to everyone. The believing is where people stumble today. They look at the cross. Most churchgoers would agree that Jesus hung on the cross and died on the cross. Many of them would even say that they believe that he rose again. They celebrate every Easter when they come to that Sunday morning. And they come and they sing those hymns. but most do not believe in their heart. They have an intellectual belief. They believe in their mind. And that kind of belief is going to keep you in the condition of being condemned. That kind of thought is going to put you right into the lake of fire if it's just in your head. And you see, God deals with the heart. So we have to believe in our heart. Why would anyone refuse when such love is shown that he offers it to everyone? Why would anyone in this world refuse such a gift? Why would anyone turn away from believing in their heart that they were a lost sinner and they needed salvation? Why would anyone, anywhere, reject that? And yet you and I know that there's multitudes out there. Every one of us know folks, some family, some friends, some just a general acquaintance, just people we know that refuse to believe in their heart. They refuse to believe. Believing is with the heart. It does not mean whosoever believes that there is a God, or that there even is a Christ, or that he even is the Savior and is able to save. Just believing, just having a mental understanding of that is not enough. Believing here, this word in verse 15, and I hope that you circled the whosoever. I hope that you circled the believeth, because believing here is a heart belief. We must recognize sin. We must realize that we're a sinner, that we've been bitten by that old snake, and that sin has come into our life and we were born with it. And this poison, this sin, this poison means death. It means certain death. Now, you won't find a person that won't admit that they are not perfect. They may believe that they're close to being perfect. And they may even give you that opinion, that thought that they're perfect. But there isn't a person that's ever been alive that would honestly, truly, completely admit they have never, ever made a mistake. They have never, that they've never done, that just one thing that they have never done wrong. Nothing. They can't accept that. They do accept that they're good enough. They're good enough that they're going to get to heaven. The book that tells them of heaven is the book that tells them that they're a lost, damned sinner if they don't come by faith to Jesus Christ. Condemnation, they're going to hell, is where they're going, no matter how perfect they feel they are. Why do people refuse to acknowledge that they're a sinner and they're lost and that they need a Savior? It's their God that they serve, the God of this land, the God of this world. It's Satan. Satan convinces them that they're good enough. Satan tries to convince them that there is no God. Satan tries to convince them there's no need of a Savior. Satan tries to convince the intellectual world that evolution, we have evolved. We were not created. That there is not a God that spoke the world into existence. but that we have started with nothing, and all of a sudden it became something, and it is just slowly through millions and billions of years have evolved into what we have today. We speak to people like that about faith, and they says, I can't believe that. And yet they have a stronger natural faith in believing we have evolved. That takes faith. It also takes an awful strong amount of ignorance to believe such a thing. And yet some of us may have believed that in the past. But you see, when we come to Jesus, we recognize that we're a sinner and we're lost and we need a Savior. And all these things get worked out in our mind and in our heart. And we know that we need Jesus. When one recognizes and sees the need of this healing, this spiritual healing, it comes. We're saved, born again, saved eternally. We've been bought. This purchase, our atonement came at the old rugged cross when Jesus died there for you and for me. All of Israel, as they stood before Moses with the serpents running everywhere, anyone that got bitten by the serpent, all they had to do was look up to this serpent and they lived. Those that chose not to died. Those that choose not to look to the cross of Calvary today and refuse that, they will die. They are part of the whosoever, means all. So you look, you live. You reject it, you refuse the cross, you will die. The scripture says here in the 15th verse, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now you think the word perish would mean to be annihilated possibly. But that word means lost. Will not be lost. We need to be found. We need to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be reunited with God again. Come back into fellowship with Him again. Because Adam and Eve were in fellowship with Him, and then when sin came, we were separated. We need to be brought back together again. And we're brought back together by this cross, the one that hung upon it. If we are not to come to the cross of Calvary, we are lost. We are lost. When you're traveling somewhere, how do you feel when you're lost? You've got a goal, you've got a place you're traveling to, and all of a sudden, somewhere, somehow, you've made a wrong turn, and nothing looks right. And none of the signs are right, and you don't know whether to turn to the right or to the left. You don't know how to get back to where you were. You're lost. Well, you can keep trying yourself and keep trying and keep trying. Or you know what? You could ask somebody that knows the way. And it's not long when you find somebody that knows the way. If you ask them, they'll say, oh, yes, just go up here. And you folks all know if you travel, the main point of reference in any town is Walmart. We got lost in Nashville a couple years ago. Go to Walmart, turn left. It was right there. The main reference in anything is Walmart today. You know what? We weren't but about 5 blocks out of the road. We had no idea where we were, but we asked someone that knew the way, and they gave us the proper direction. Wasn't long. We was on the right road, and off we went. There's only one that knows the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus. You can try. You can look at any other direction. You can try yourself. You can look at any other kind of religion. You can look at anything you want to. But if you do not look to Jesus, you're going to stay lost. And if you've ever been lost, and most of us have, sometime for a very short period of time, sometime for a long time, it's a helpless feeling, isn't it? It's kind of a helpless feeling just for a little bit there where you don't know where you are. And particularly if you happen to be in a big city and you don't know what the good part of the city or the bad part of the city, and all of a sudden you're becoming a little afraid because you're lost. Well, that's exactly the condition of every lost person until they meet Jesus. They can convince themselves that everything is okay. They can convince themselves that they're fine, but they're not. They're worried. They're uneasy, they're uncomfortable, and they're continually searching. The day you meet Jesus is the day you find the way, and that all ends. What a wonderful gift we have in Jesus. You know, some people try to use the Lord Jesus as just a fire escape. They just want to avoid hell. Well, I hope that you didn't, number one. If you're just looking for that fire escape, probably you don't even realize that you're a sinner and you're lost. And so we need to see that we recognize our filth and our mess, and that we need Jesus as our Savior. We need Him more than just a fire escape to keep us out of hell, because He is much more. He is life. He is everything. He gives us love and joy and peace. He gives us strength and wisdom and power. All things that we are unable to possess, unable to have and to use without Jesus. So you see, He's more than just a fire escape to beat the fires of hell, to avoid the fires of hell. He's life. Now, people that do not know Jesus, they think they're doing fine. They think they have everything in order. But if you could get down into their heart, you could see that they're unsettled. You could see that they have no peace. You can see that they have no joy. And all we need to do as a believer is to take our eyes away from Jesus. And what happens? The peace goes, the joy goes, the love goes, the strength goes, the wisdom goes, the power goes. It's there. We're just depending on me. We're looking for me for guidance. We're looking for man, the world, for guidance. Then we get our face back on the earth, looking to Jesus, calling upon Him, asking Him to forgive us that we've left Him. Say, please, give me Your strength, and He will. Give me Your love, and He will. Give me Your peace, and He will. We don't have to be saved again, but we've lost the fellowship and the power when we stop depending upon the Lord. Salvation is not losing, giving something up in this life, in this world. It is gaining. It is gaining everything. And we need to tell this great gift, tell of the lost this great gift. And if they don't want to hear it, we need to put it to prayer. Prayer that includes tears, that we're crying for them, we're weeping for them, because we want our God to save them. But you see, they're part of whosoever. But the problem is, whosoever believeth. And each one of us have a choice of whether we're going to believe or not believe. Why would you trust in the world, in the devil that wants to destroy, instead of trusting in our God that wants to build up and grow and strengthen and bring peace and joy into our hearts? You see, there's not only that we are not going to be lost, but He gives us life. And that 15th verse tells us. We're probably not even going to get finished with the 16th verse today, but we're going to start it because there is so much in the 16th verse that it'll be worthy of repeating some next week. This 16th verse, there again is enough gospel in this to save the world if the world would hear and believe it. There's one verse of Scripture. If you have a difficult time memorizing Scripture, this is one that you need to memorize. This is one that you need to know. This is one that as we look at this 16th verse, I would like for you to read out loud with me as we read this 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world. Nicodemus may have thought that it was just for the Jews only. But what does God say here in his word? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, for God so loved the world. The world. There is no one that is eliminated here. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, rich, poor, doesn't matter. Whosoever. The only begotten Son of God is God's gift to the entire family of Adam. It's a gift. The only begotten Son of God. For God so loved. God loved the world. Let's look at how much. And I want you to kind of focus on the little two-letter word there. How much did he love the world? He loved it so much. And sad to say, as most of the world today says, so what? That's the way they handle the cross of Calvary. That's the way they look at Golgotha. That's the way they look at the Son of God that come to seek and to save those that are lost. They take it with an attitude of so what? But God here in his word says he loves this world, and I'm going to try to show you how much that he loves this world. He loves the world that hates him and hates his Son. You know, it's easy to love someone that loves you. But how hard is it to love someone that hates you? Someone that doesn't listen, doesn't have any, they're just against you all the way, every day. How difficult is it to love somebody like that? And yet the world, the wicked world, hates God and hates his Son, the Lord Jesus, as well. God's love is so great to this world, even though this world condemned the Son of God to death. So not only did somebody hate God and hate the Son of God, but they come to a level that they put him to death. They condemned him and crucified him. God so loved the world. He loved it so much, even though the world reacted in such a manner. He loves this world, even though this world nailed his Son to the cross. And they mocked Jesus while he died. So much Jesus loves us. so much God the Father loves us. God not only loves this world, but He also provided the greatest gift. He took from heaven the greatest jewel and brought it here to earth to save us. And that was His Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, not only does He love the world, but He gave the most precious, precious to His heart that we could be saved. So much. God so loved the world. You think of your love for someone or things of this world. You think of your level of love and how your level moves and changes from day to day. Well, God's love doesn't change. God's love doesn't change because someone hated Him. God's love didn't change because they crucified His Son. God's love never changes. God's love is so great that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the price of redemption. And now as we look at the last half of this 16th verse, we have the 15th verse again. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that He opened the door that whosoever believeth. Again, the world in the Scripture here stands for the wicked, the evil, which are all, unless they call upon the name of the Lord. God so loved the world to the highest degree, surpasses any of our minds of how much and how great. And then He proves it when He gives us the whosoever. The whosoever includes those that hated, those that despised, those that rejected. They're all included in the whosoever. God knew with his power and His strength, He knows who was going to get saved. And so He could have just died for them and just took their sins away because the others weren't going to trust in Him anyway, but He didn't. Because He is just and He's perfect. And He comes before us, before the world, before the lost world as their judge, He knows that everyone that's standing before Him had an opportunity because they were the whosoever. The whosoever. And my friend, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. We need to be busy at telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power. God so loved the world. He loved it so much. Even though this world would say to Him and does today, so what? So what? Why is there churches around this city and cities joining us that say, so what to the gospel? And yet they stand under this name, church. They call themselves Christians. And yet they have said, so what to the rugged cross of Calvary? What would you do? What would I do when someone would treat me that way? Day after day after day, year after year, century after century. You would look down as he did during the days of Noah and say, there's not one down there that's got a good thought. Every thought's wicked. And we can't be far from that today. And yet every one of those wicked before the days of the flood, Jesus died for them. Every one. Every one. It should break our hearts, bring tears to our eyes when someone we know, especially someone we love, chooses to say, so what, to the gospel? To say, so what, to his church? Should break our hearts. But too often, I'm sad to say, we say, so what, to a God that saved us. We say, so what. It's not important to share the gospel. It's not important to be in the house of God. It's not important. So what? You think about that. I would rather have us set our eyes upon, for God so loved the world. His love is greater than all the worlds together. He loves us so much. Let's praise him. Let's honor him. Let's lift him up. Let's close with prayer. Father, please, when we make decisions day to day, let's see that we don't become part of the so what crowd. That we would literally blaspheme your name when we do those things. As a believer, we know that you saved us. We know that you're in our hearts. We know that what you have given us, and yet so quickly we snatch back onto the things of the world and look to them, depend upon them. They take us away from learning, and they take us away from growing and from knowing you better each day. And yet we say, so what? I can't help it. So what? Father, please help have us to see your great love. And every believer grow closer to you and take your work and your word and your way so serious, dear Lord. You've loved us so much. For us to give us our life and our time back to you is nothing, dear Lord. It's the least we can do. Please guide and lead us and strengthen us. Dear Lord, I know there are those here that have not trusted in you. There's not one here that is not part of that whosoever. So, dear Lord, please, don't let them tarry one more day. Don't let them play the game because that game could cost them their life. And it will if they tarry very long. So please, dear Lord, those that are lost, please bring them today. Showing them their sin, showing them the need of a Savior. Show them your love, dear Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.